The COVID-19 crisis has prompted us to think about what we really need in many areas of life. From groceries to home office equipment to creative ways of staying connected with family and friends. As we anticipate emerging from our quarantine, we'll spend several weeks considering Jesus' most essential teachings. Our message series, Summer on the Mount, brings us back to the basics about what it means to live, think, and act as people who find all we truly need in Him.
I'm Marcia Rivers. I'm one of the pastors here at Northgate Church, and this weekend we continue with our series Summer on the Mount. And as you can see, we have some summer weather. Last time I shared with you, we had to do it indoors, but we have been enjoying beautiful sunny weather. And this weekend, our topic, we come to Jesus' words about prayer and fasting. And I don't think that we could have come upon these words at a more timely occasion. Prayer and fasting are always urgently needed in our lives, but in light of what our world and our community have been experiencing over the past several months and even the last few days, we are perhaps just more aware of our need for prayer and fasting right now. The battle between good and evil, between heaven and hell, goes on all around us and in us all the time. But recently, our children's ministry leaders have reminded us that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That comes from Ephesians chapter 6. Our awareness of that battle between good and evil is at a high, high pitch right now. And I pray, as we look at the words of Jesus, the Savior of the world, the Lord of all we who worship Him in spirit and in truth, that we would have eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts that comprehend the importance of His message, and the wisdom and the will to allow God to change us. We all need change. We need to be challenged. Let's let Him challenge our thoughts and attitudes. Let's let Him diagnose and cauterize and heal the wounds and the sin sickness within us and our society. Let's let Him reroute and renovate the patterns and behaviors that don't honor Him. And let's serve to bring about His good, pleasing, and perfect will in our lives and in the world. The main point for the message this weekend is that the purposes of prayer and fasting are beyond any one of us. Purposes of prayer and fasting stretch far beyond any one of us. The popular priest Richard Rohr this past week reflected that our culture's worship of individualism and our bootstrap mentality, those stand in the way of our comprehension and our compassion of other people's experiences. And I think he's right about that. Those thoughts and attitudes can block our clear view of other people's needs, as well as our own deep need for God. Let's dive in to this weekend's scripture. It comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 18. And I'm going to give you the beginning and the end, and then we'll come back around to the middle. The beginning and the end about prayer and fasting go together, and we'll come back around to the middle portion, which is Jesus' instructions about how to pray. Hear the words of the Lord from the Gospel of Matthew. And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans. They think they'll be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And then we're jumping to the end part of this passage, Matthew 6, 16 through 18. When you fast, don't look somber, as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it won't be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Now, Jesus is expecting two things of the people he is addressing. One, that they do pray, and two, that they do fast. That both activities are a regular part of their lives as people who love God and want to do what pleases him. Now, as a church, and I'm just not just talking about Northgate Church, but as a church in general, I think we've talked a lot about prayer. In fact, this time last year, we were in the midst of a series, a message series about prayer. We hold multiple prayer meetings each week. Even during this time of social distancing, we pray together multiple times a week via Zoom. We share prayer requests through our app and by text and by email. We engage other Christians in our pleas for prayer because we believe God is listening, and we believe we need God to listen and to help us. And that is good and right, as long as we are actually praying and not just posting about it, right? Pastor Vern said last week that it's okay to do good deeds in public as long as the motives of our heart are right. And that's also true of prayer and fasting. Although with prayer, I think there's an extra layer of danger in the public realm of prayer because of the addictive and distracting nature of our smartphones and our other internet-connected devices. We don't want to be like the hypocrites who prayed just to be seen and admired, but we also don't want to be modern hypocrites who post about prayer, but then keep on scrolling instead of stopping to actually pray. Now, I'm aware that many people use their phones or tablets during their times of prayer and Bible study. There are many well-developed apps and excellent tools for reading, studying, and praying. But personally, I avoid them. Not all the time, I use them sometimes. But for that first thing in the morning time to get my heart in tune with the Spirit of God, I leave the phone on the kitchen counter and I silence it too. Because if you're like me and you're easily distracted and you tend to get sucked into that rabbit hole of posts and comments and conversations that happen on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, I think that when we go into our rooms and close that door, it's better to do it without the phone. Now, you might think I'm wrong about this, and you might say your phone is a great tool and not a hindrance to your fellowship with the Father, but I challenge you. If you're at all like me, and I tend to think that as human beings, we're distractible, right? How many of you are scrolling right now while you're watching this service? You're listening or watching or waiting for some other notification, right, during the service here. Didn't mean to bust anybody or put anybody on the spot. That's how we are, right? If you, like me, are distracted, I challenge you to do a comparative week of prayer and Bible study, time with the Lord, without the phone in the room, and then another week with it, and see what difference there is in the depth of your pursuit of your relationship with him. The main thing, of course, is to actually pray. The Bible says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective, not the post of a righteous person. So we collectively agree in the power of prayer. But what about fasting? fasting seems to have gone out of fashion in the life of the church, at least the life of the church with which I am familiar, and I've been part of the church my whole life in various forms and denominations. Jesus presumes his listeners not only pray, but also fast as a matter of course. He says, when you fast, not if you fast, or not if you decide to give fasting a try as a kind of tentative experiment. No, Jesus clearly says when you fast, so that is the expectation. But just like we can pray with wrong motives, we can also fast for selfish, manipulative reasons. Just like there's a wrong way to do the right thing, as we heard last week, that includes praying and fasting. Our motives matter. Our inner posture has to be humble and sincere. Let's talk about fasting a little bit because it's less familiar to us than prayer. The most basic form of fasting is simply going without food for a designated time, whether one meal time or a full 24 hours or sometimes longer. During the season just prior to this Sermon on the Mount that Jesus delivered, we know that he went 40 days without food. He was fasting during that time in the desert. So traditionally, people fast from food, but we can also set aside other things that we normally consume as a form of fasting. The late Presbyterian minister and author Eugene Peterson, he paraphrased today's passage about fasting in this way, where the New International Version of Matthew 6:16 starts out, "When you fast," the Message paraphrase by Eugene Peterson says, "When you practice some appetite-denying discipline to better concentrate on God." See, he's both telling you what fasting is and also giving a hint to the purpose of it. When you practice some appetite-denying discipline in order to better concentrate on God. He goes on to say, don't make a production out of it. It might turn you into a small-time celebrity, but it won't make you a saint if you go into training inwardly, act normal outwardly. Shampoo and comb your hair. This might be a timely message during quarantine, right? Shampoo and comb your hair. Brush your teeth, wash your face. God doesn't require attention-getting devices. I think some people fast because they think, well, I'm gonna show God that I mean business. And I'm gonna make him give me what I want. Give me my heart's desires by going without food or going without this or that as long as I possibly can. That's manipulative, and that's not the kind of sacrifice that God desires. He wants our hearts. He wants us to be sincere in our desire to pursue Him and Him alone, not just our agenda or what we want. God doesn't require attention-getting devices. He won't overlook what you are doing. He'll reward you well. You know, there's scriptures that tell about God and God's voice as a still, small voice. God doesn't need to shout to have us hear Him. And He doesn't need us to shout out loud with our voices or out loud with our actions in order for Him to hear us and know our heart's desires. He sees and He knows. Well, even if you've never fasted a day in your life intentionally up until now, we've all been living in a time of imposed fasting during this season of COVID-19. We've been fasting from travel, fasting from social gatherings. Some of us have fasted from our preferred brand name products. Others have gone without groceries altogether on some days. A heartbreaking reality that Northgate has been diligently working to remedy and to address by collecting food each week and partnering with the Salvation Army and Foodlink to distribute that food to those who need it. This season of imposed fasting has actually forced us to slow down. You see, it's kind of a play on words that's true to life. Now, I'd love to share some more thoughts about fasting. In fact, I will do that this coming Wednesday. We meet at noon every Wednesday on Zoom, and we start with a brief devotional thought and some scripture, and then we have a dedicated time of prayer. And this coming Wednesday at noon, you're invited to join us, and I will share some additional thoughts about fasting before we begin our time of prayer. All you have to do is email me, Marsha, M-A-R-S-H-A, at northgatefmc.com, and I'll send you the link to pray with us on Wednesday at noon. But for now, I need to circle back to the middle of today's scripture passage, which I believe is the core message that Jesus wants us to receive today and every day. In the middle of these comments about prayer and fasting and how not to mess it up and how not to do these two important practices, Jesus gives us the ultimate how-to in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 14. When he says, "This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Hallowed simply means acknowledged as holy, perfect, and completely and totally good and worthy of honor and praise. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, that means our sins, the things we've done wrong, as well as the things we haven't done that we knew we should have. Forgive us for the ways we have thought and behaved and neglected to act according to what you have shown us is right, O God. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors, that is, fellow sinners who have also messed up, whom we choose to forgive because you have taught us and shown us that it is right and necessary to forgive. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And when we pray that prayer together in public, we usually add these words, "For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen." And the passage continues for today, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Now, as I read through this prayer for the umpteenth time, I didn't really need to read it because I know it by heart, as most Christians do, but I did read it several times. And what struck me in the midst of our current angst and strife and grief and stress, frustration, and all of the difficult realities and emotions we are experiencing as a society and as God's people, what struck me first and foremost was what is absent from what we commonly refer to as the Lord's Prayer. There's no mention of I. No mention of me. There's no my or mine. It begins with the word our, followed by the word Father, our Father. We are a family. We are God's daughters and sons. We are one people, a people belonging to God. There's no separate prayer for people on one side of the political aisle or the other. There's no separate prayer for people of one skin color or another, one profession or another, people who gladly wear masks or people who reluctantly or don't want to do so, people who post their opinions on social media or people who don't even have access to a computer. There's no separate prayer for people who post too much on social media or people who don't know what to post. There's no separate prayer for rich people, poor people, city residents, poor folks. You get what I'm saying. Jesus provides one prayer for one people, his people, God's family. And that prayer emphasizes our bond with one another and directs us toward his kingdom, his will, his provision, his glory, not ours. Jesus knows how inclined we are to clamor after power, earthly power, He knows how much we value our own insights and how inclined we are to protect our own interests to the detriment of others. That's why he taught us to pray against temptation and to seek divine deliverance from the evil one. The evil one is our enemy, the devil, Satan. We don't talk a whole lot about him either in the church, but I think we need to, especially in a moment like this. How do we know that our enemy operates? We know that he's a deceiver and a divider. Elsewhere in Scripture, Jesus describes Satan as a thief whose goals are to steal and kill and destroy. He describes the devil as a wolf who attacks the flock and scatters it. But Jesus, the one who taught us to pray, "Our Father," as one family, he is the good shepherd. He knows his sheep. He loves his flock. He desires and works and prays to keep us together as one flock. He knows his sheep and we know him. That's what it says in John chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. But do we? Do we know him? Have we humbled ourselves before the Lord in prayer and fasting and allowed his voice to be heard in our hearts and to resonate with our thoughts and words and actions, to form those thoughts and words and actions? Or have we been too busy scrolling through the social media, which just stokes our anger and our angst about what's happening in the world? To pray means to step away and pay attention to God. To fast means to slow down. For what purpose? To pay attention to God. Both are private matters with a public purpose, a very public purpose, and that is giving God his rightful place in our hearts and in the world. That's what thy kingdom come, your kingdom come, oh God, that's what that means. And that's what we need to do and to seek and to pray for. Let's pray now. Lord, we need you. We know you are on the throne. We know you are in control. But in many ways, we, your people, and this society, this place where we live, is out of control. Lord, we seek your power. We seek your forgiveness. We put our lives and our hearts before you and ask you to show us what needs fixing, what needs healing, what needs correction. We just know that we need you during this time, and we bow before you now to seek your face. Help us, Lord, to silence our own voices and the voices of the world, which are so many and so loud and so angry and so confusing. Help us to quiet our hearts today and every day, to take time, to make the time to listen and learn your voice and to become your loving followers, more and more like Jesus every day. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.